find the fountain of youth. Reverse aging. We're talking about longevity today.
Reversing youth. Reversing youth. Reversing to youth.
I said reverse aging.
Do you know there's like a whole thing like ageism? I think it's really interesting where a lot of people are kind of against the idea of wanting to get younger because it's like we should be embracing being old.
I understand that kind of, but there's two things, right? There's biological age and there's chronological age. Chronological is like your actual, you know, you're 38, right? And I'm 31.
I'm 36.
Oh.
You always get that wrong.
Whatever.
I'm holding on, man. Okay, go ahead. What's your deal?
And then biological is like, you know, generally how healthy you are. I mean, you could be a 20-year-old with the biological age of 50 if you're a chronic chain smoker or whatever the case is.
Our mutual friend Glenn and I were just talking about this last night about getting older. And I asked him, so how long do you want to live? And he's like, I want to live till at least 80 or 90. He said 95. That's what he said. And I said, I know some people who say they don't want to be 95. And he said, yeah, because most people think when they get older, their life quality is going to go down. He said, why do we have to have that kind of standard? So I think that's what you and I are talking about today of like vibrancy and life and going on a hike with your family if you want to, no matter what your age is.
That's exactly it. The quality of life in your later years.
I do want to look good, though. I'm really, like, I'm not going to lie to you and act like I'm all not egotistical. My face getting older is so scary to me.
Well, then what we'll do is break down today how to feel healthier in your old age and how to look better in your old age.
Okay. Give me
there
a
you
tip.
Go.
Give me a hot tip, because you look like you're 18, dude. Come on.
I look like a what? Not.
Maybe 20. No. I'd say a solid 40 and a half. Go ahead.
When I'm performing, I'll ask audience members this because it kind of leads into a bit. And sometimes I'll get, you know, 31. I'm like, yes, right? And then in some places that have bad lighting, they're like, 49. What? Like, how was it such a polar?
What do you say when they, like, go into, like, the worst? Like, I'm sorry.
Well, that's where the humor comes from. Then I can kind of rip into them a little bit. So that's, you're sort of, like, creating funny moments in that, scenario. All right, so let's start with the boring stuff, like sleep. All right, it's a critical process for repairing cell damage. How much sleep do you get a night?
I try to get 7 to 8 hours every single night. And I'm actually like not functionally as good mentally either.
It's weird. Like when I get less than seven, I'm pretty dumb.
I was just in an argument with somebody about this yesterday. They were saying that we don't need as much sleep as people say, that you only need to have like your sleep cycles, like if you have REM. One sleep cycle, yeah, like you can sleep 3.5 hours and you'll feel just as good as you do at 6 hours or whatever. I'm like, that's BS. Like, your girl needs some time. Maybe I'm just upset about it. I like sleep.
I think it's an optimization thing. It's like you don't need 8 liters of water a day or whatever they recommend, but if you had half of it, you wouldn't die, but you're just not optimizing what your body needs.
Are you following Brian Johnson? Did I send you his stuff?
I think Brian Johnson is the singer of AC/DC.
No. No, he's the dude that everybody's giving crap about. He's optimizing his life. He drank the blood and he eats certain meal. He doesn't eat past 11. I think I sent that to you.
Are you watching Vampire Diaries or AC/DC's Greatest Hits? I don't understand what you're talking about.
I sent this to you and I know that you watched it. Everybody's giving him a hard time, but if you want to see somebody on the extreme side of this, like he sleeps in a completely black room. He will not sleep with anyone. He has to sleep by himself because it messes with his sleep. He stops eating like 6 hours before so he can be fully digested. I mean, like, that's the other extreme level. I love it.
That gets infringent on your personal life. Because, like, what do you say? You're going to go to dinner with friends and you're just going to lick a piece of lettuce and drink a glass of water? Like, you know, it's no fun.
Yeah. Okay, sleep. Let's move on. What else?
Strength training. So like muscle mass and like strength training is also linked to improvements in blood glucose levels, regulating the blood glucose levels. You started strength training this year, right?
Yeah, and I've completely like fallen off the bandwagon with this marathon. Like all I do is run anymore, and I can feel the difference. Like I can literally feel the difference. But in your 40s, especially women, your bones are starting to get a little weaker.
Have you heard it's actually good for brain health too? They say like a strength training is like an antidepressant.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
God, we're just sitting here telling everybody to get more sleep, eat right. Eat right's probably on your freaking list.
That's why this is the boring stuff. This is the stuff everybody knows and wants to avoid, really. Everyone wants to stay up late and have a sedentary lifestyle.
What number is eat well? I know it's on your list.
Oh, it's next. A diet containing nutrient-dense foods that fight inflammation, which is a major cause of cell damage and aging. That is the hardest one like processed foods. Like we all love sugars and we all love, oh my God. So it's my kid's birthday today. Like there's going to be cake and I'm going to eat most of it.
So this is what's interesting to me is how you and I both know, like, this is bad, this is good for the most part. I cannot believe how many folks get confused about what's healthy and what's not. I love, like, my mom will never watch this. I know this for a fact because she doesn't know, really understand what podcasting is. She's like, I'm eating healthy now. So we went to her house. She's like very proud. Like every time she has something healthy in the house, she comes and gets me and Brian is like, I have something healthy. Right. So she brings it in the kitchen. She's like, I made these and these are like healthy. And they were these cheese balls that now I'm talking about. She took shredded cheese and she scrunched up the shredded cheese, rolled it into a ball and put it on a pan and put it in the oven and baked them. So they're like these crispy shredded cheese balls. And she was so proud of it. She's like, I made y'all some healthy cheese balls.
Why are they healthy? Because it's not because it's like the least processed cheese we have available to us, or
they are. No, it is the most processed. That was the most unhealthy thing she could have gave us. It was literally shredded.
Why did she assume it was healthy? Like because it wasn't Cheese Whiz? I don't understand.
I don't know, but this is America, yo. This is America. People do not know. They don't understand what's healthy. Like, I don't know if it's that way where you're at, but folks are like, I'm so confused. All I had today was in a list off everything. And you're like, you know, that was like 5,000 calories.
All I had was 11 burgers. Okay.
Okay. Water? Water? Drink water as I drink my Zevia?
What did they recommend? Was it 8 liters? Was I being, or was it 2 liters? I forget what it was, but how much did you feel like you drank enough?
I did drink enough. You seen my big ass bottle? You seen my big ass bottle where I'm like,
does it have the measuring thing on it so you know exactly how much you've measured?
Yeah, my goal is normally a gallon. I never get to that. I usually drink about 3/4 a gallon a day, which I think is good for my body weight.
Do you pee constantly?
Oh, yeah. You know I do.
You know I do. How do I know that? I don't know that.
Because every time we're on a – you do too. Every time we do these little things, we're like, I got to pee, and we run and we do it.
That's true. Our pee breaks.
And that's a very gross thing to include.
That's what the listening audience doesn't see is the pee breaks every half an hour. Good thing these episodes are short.
What else do you have on your list?
All right. So the use of your brain. Okay. A lot of the things we talked about so far is your body aging itself. But what about the brain? Okay. That's why retired people die early. You know, they die because they got nothing to do. They wake up. They're like, I have no reason for getting out of bed in the morning.
People die early. And I was like, I am effed.
It's like a neuro, how do you pronounce it? A neurodegenerative disease. Yeah. It's like you need your cognitive decline. You got to be using that brain. Here's a theory that I think exists.
What?
Creativity is like the fountain of youth. Think about it. When you're coloring and stuff as a kid, or when you're whatever, then you grow up. It's like, I need to get a job and have a spouse that I can boss around or whatever, right? But I think if you have that creative gene, you can do stuff that's, it kind of keeps you youthful. For example, I'm over 40 and I recorded probably the dumbest sketch I've ever recorded in my life yesterday. And 40-year-olds shouldn't be doing this. 40-year-olds should not be, I won't go into detail of what it was, but the point is, it's just, there's something about, you know, holding on to that youthful existence that I think keeps us young at heart, at least. I mean, I look like an old catcher's mitt, but I'm young at heart.
Stop it. I agree with you because I think a lot of the creativity, like you said, the fun part, fun is so important. Laughter and enjoyment, mostly for stress. So aging has a lot to do with just stress on the body, whether it's like physical stress or mental health stress. So if you think about fun and creativity, going outside, anything that reduces the stress, that's why meditation, outdoor stuff, all that is so impactful, is because it reduces strain and stress on the body. So amen, hallelujah, grab your crayons, do a sketch, have some fun, stop taking yourself so freaking seriously.
But stress is the one that is for me at least, it's hard to avoid because it's not like it's regimented. Like food, just don't buy processed food. But like stress is like, it kind of comes if you're kind of a bit of a go-getter, you know what I mean?
It is, but that's where the mental reframing and all these little soft practices that people teach, like meditation and gratitude and journaling, because it helps you process through a little bit of stuff. Like I'm in like probably one of the most stressful seasons of my life right now, like hardcore. So I've been really having to lean into journaling, and I don't do like the normal meditation, but like this morning on the plane, just like closing my eyes and just getting really, really present, because I was literally like
freaking the hell out.
Do you, but journaling, does that become, like, let's say you have a list of 1,000 things you got to do, and then journaling is just another thing to pile onto that list.
I've noticed myself making a list of the things I need to do in my journal.
Right. I'm wondering, like, so what are you journaling about, and why, and how does that help you relieve stress?
I don't know if your brain feels like, I feel like there's so much stuff in my brain that I can't sort through all of it because I have all these different things to remember. And so sometimes just, I was joking about it, but sometimes just getting things physically out on paper on a list and then looking at it. And then I do this practice where I try to coach myself, where I look at everything that I have going on and look at it as if I was working with a client or something, and looking at it and saying, what do you actually need to do? What actually matters here? What do you need to let go? It surprisingly works pretty well, because deep down we know, like, the answer. We just don't put ourselves in the position of authority because we have so much emotion wrapped into it.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I do the same thing with, like, with notes and stuff on my phone, like reminders, and, like, I just, so everything is compartmentalized there. And so, like, in that moment, in the day of, if it's something that I cannot, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do it today or not, I'll put it to tomorrow. And if I do the same thing tomorrow, I'll probably just delete it. So I can kind of prioritize it that way. I'm starting to do that. Otherwise, you know, by the time Saturday comes up, that list is just a mile long.
You know, one of the things you said about creativity is forcing yourself into different routines and adding variety. I think that's what came up for me too, because we're so stagnant in our lives where we park our car at the exact same spot. We go the same route at 2:34. We do this. We watch this TV show and then we go to bed at this time. Like, it's so routine, which is awesome because we can run through things faster. But then that's when our brain goes on, you know, autopilot, because we're not actually trying to think through things and there's no new stimuli to come through. So getting in new environments and intentionally being around different kind of people and all of that is so freaking important, just to kind of make your brain wake up a little bit.
Yeah. Change it up a little bit, create experiences for yourself. Did you notice that, you know, when we were locked down after COVID for 2 years, you didn't see anybody. I found that when I saw people after that, it was as if they aged like 10 years. I think the stress really got to people and it really physically showed in their face and bodies.
Everybody gained a lot of weight too.
It wasn't necessarily the weight gain, but like just they looked visibly older. I don't know. I just think the stress hit people in a different way. Myself as well. Like I could see gray hairs in my beard right now. I didn't have that before COVID.
I met you during COVID. That was probably more what happened. What else you got on your list?
Okay, so we've gone over the boring stuff. But what about, like, I consider this boring, but like they say to preserve your skin, to make you look more youthful, the only real thing that works is UV protection. So put on that sunscreen to stay out of the, I just stay out of the sun. I stay indoors all day. That's what I do. But that's not healthy either. So UV protection. What's your SPF on your moisturizer?
40. I just started using sunscreen this past year.
Same.
I have not done anything with my skin. I've never had it. And I am like super upset about it, because now that I'm starting to learn about it and I'm like, oh my God, I have been wearing sunscreen. I've never done any kind of like treatments. I can't wait to talk to that guy tomorrow because I have no idea how all that works. But somebody told me, I was talking to this lady who's so gorgeous and she's like in her 50s. And she told me to start wearing sunscreen on my hands, which I had never thought about before, but she's, oh, and your neck. So as a woman, we always think about our face, but women's hands age too. So putting it
there. You don't want old lady hands is what you're saying?
Dude, you don't even, when she told me that, I straight up have been like, on my desk, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't get near my hands. When I run, I have sunscreen on my hands. Is that not
ridiculous? And no one blames you for like only getting into it now. It's like, because you've gotten to the age where you're starting to, you know, deteriorate. Like no one in their 20s is like, I'm going to wear sunscreen, 75 SPF.
20s. I remember, I used to just like put baby oil and like suntan stuff and just like, you know what I mean? Like, brow me up. I don't care, you know? Damn.
Exactly.
Anyways, what's next? Give me another tip. That's a good tip.
These are all the basic things. And then it goes into the deep levels, like supplements and stuff like that. But one of the big things that I've done over the last 5 years is like intermittent fasting. But that sort of goes into similar things from the above mentioned points. So it's kind of a calorie reduction and stuff like that. But when you're basically not eating, your body's repairing itself. So you have like cell reparation during that long fast where you're not necessarily eating. And you can't tell, like, I don't know if it's working or not, but I assume based on scientific research that it's working. So I'm going to continue down this road as long as I can.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that's stress reduction because digestion is stress on the body. So that makes complete sense. I've heard that before, that restricting calories. Do you think it matters? Like, do you try to have a lot of digestion before you go to bed, like Brian Johnson talks about?
I do 3 hours.
That's still good. That's really good. I literally ate popcorn right before I went to bed last night. So you're doing a lot better than me.
There you go. There you go. I'm going to live longer. So when we start the new 80 podcast, I'll be hosting it alone.
This is terrible. This is terrible. Give me some more shallow tips. I need some more looking young shallow tips.
Looking young shallow tips. Why don't you, I'm sure you follow a bunch of like IG influencers on like different moisturizers to use and different.
I don't follow. You have no idea how unwomanly I am. Like, I don't do all those things. I know I should. My brain, I don't have the bandwidth to think about that kind of stuff because I'm thinking about other stuff. So I feel like I'm catching quick tips here and there. I just started skincare routine. I'm trying so hard with the sunscreen. I drink a lot of water and I try to really take care of myself. And the most thing that I do is I just try to have a fun vibrancy in me. You know what I mean? Because I might look like shit, but I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have you done the ice bath thing yet?
I did a cold plunge in a river.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, it was so horrible. It felt like piercing. Like, but then your body kind of got used to it, and then I think it was just kind of went into this numb, delusional spot.
That's why. So I just bought a cold plunge last week, right? And it. Because a few weeks ago, I jumped in a lake for the same reason. It was like after a sauna or something, and I jumped in, and it was crazy cold. But afterwards, I felt exhilarated, right? And so, they say it's like the same kind of a high as a cocaine high, except it lasts several hours instead of cocaine, which is like 45 minutes.
Have you done cocaine?
No, but I want to. But if I had this cold plunge, then I figure it's cheaper and more healthy. So I'm going to try to do this as long as we can, so say off the powder.
You're so funny. I've only known you probably 3 years now, and the thought of you being exhilarated is very interesting to me. I would love to see that.
It was a great feeling. I was high on life. I was scattered and bebopping all over the place. So I'm like, I got to get a cold plunge so I can, you know, use this daily. Daily is a little extreme, but like maybe 3 times a week. And then it just, it helps your nervous system, and it just apparently. So there's two things I noticed the first time I tried it last week, right? It's super cold getting in. There's ice. It's very difficult to put your testicles below the sea level or whatever. And so that's more of like a brain toughness kind of thing. Like that's the resilience to like just get your whole body into it. And then while you're into it, that's when your body takes over. That's when like, you're reducing inflammation and stuff like that because you're in the cold water. You know, when you get injured, it's like you put ice on it. So your whole body is just, the inflammation is just decreasing and stuff like that. But then you get used to it. So your body becomes resilient to it. So it's sort of like a brain and body exercise.
I am just speechless after all that. There's so many things to comment on that. First of all, your very beginning thing said, what does exhilarated Rory look like? And you said the most old man thing I've ever heard you say before, which is saying a lot because you're like, I was bebopping around.
Scatting and bebopping.
What the fuck? The second thing is you talking about that. I feel like you've found your new passion in life. I think you should do this, man. Like, make a brand about looking good in your 40s or something, because I saw some passion there.
Well, I've only did it once since buying it, but the point is I bought a freezer because like, here's the other thing about ice baths is you need ice, and I can only make so much ice in order to do this thing. So I bought an ice machine as well to go with the ice bath thing. So all I do is make ice now, and then now we have all this ice, but my freezer is full of ice, and now I don't have room for meat and frozen blueberries and stuff. So like now I had to buy a second freezer to put in the garage. So now that's my ice freezer for the ice bath and extra meat from Costco. Kirkland brand.
You are so
organic.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to get young. I'm going to go take these ice baths. Oh my goodness. I can't believe I got to go buy an extra freezer because I got all this meat that I got to have in my frozen blueberries. And I went to Costco. Do you hear yourself? Bebopping around?
I know. I should have done an ice bath this morning.
Okay.
But anyway, I feel like. What's that?
So we got to wrap this up. This is 21 minutes. Here's the deal. it's not about looking hot. It's about living long. And if you can live long and look lukewarm, you've done a pretty good job. So wear your sunscreen, go to Costco's, do your ice bath. That's it.